Here's what's come out in the last week, folks. Fashid, the terror babe from Saudi Arabia, who, along with her hubby, did the terrorist act in San Bernardino. First of all, they have found out she was trained as a jihadi long before the supposed marriage. Number two, they have found out that the great vetting process, which our president has looked with his big brown eyes into the camera and lied to us about, along with his henchmen, Valerie Jarrett and his Department of Homeland Security, Putz that runs that, and Kerry, who is totally pathetic. The vetting, folks, doesn't exist. This woman lied on her application and lied in her interview, was not asked certain questions. None of her pronunciations, none of her answers in the interview were followed up on, or they would have found out that she lied about her address, lied about her origins, lied about her activities. And you'll love this. For 3 months prior to the attack, give or take, her social media pages were filled with threats of the attack, with her wish to kill Americans, her wish to commit jihad on American soil. Out in the open. So she wasn't vetted getting into this country on the visa deal, which, by the way, Kerry and Obama have now told Iran will not apply to Iran. I mean, say what? She wasn't vetted on the visa deal. The questions were not asked. No background was done. No checkup was done. She lied through her butt. She had been trained as a jihadi long before. This was all a staged deal. It had been years in the making. And she's posting on social media 3 months before the attack. But do you know why nobody could do anything? Because the Obama administration has made it a rule through their Department of Justice that you can't do anything. That the privacy of those posting threats of Islamic terrorism supersede the ability to protect the American public by its law enforcement. You can't make that up. And you liberals out there who are listening to me shaking your head, oh, you know, he's making this stuff up, and there he goes again, blah, 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 blah. Google it. Google's your friend. It is pathetic. Here's the end result. Barack Obama killed those people in San Bernardino, just as sure as if he had pulled the trigger. He has killed 300,000 people in the Middle East by talking about acting, promising to act, and purposely failing to act, his red line and the rest of the nonsense. Just as sure as if he had pulled the trigger. And he doesn't care. Nor do any of those around him. Because to them it is the ideology and it is the agenda. Everything and everyone else is expendable. Okay, enough on gun control. Oh, one other thing. I fibbed you. One more thing on gun control. 22 Democrats in our Congress. We pay these people salary. How scary. We pay their pensions forever after they're out of office. Unbelievable. 22 Democrats are now sponsoring a bill to take $360 million of our money, at least it's not going to the mating habits of the snail darter, or how fast a snail crawls, $360 million of our money to buy back guns from the American public. That bill has actually been introduced. Wow. Now, you know, it's a hop, step, and a jump between voluntary sale back to the government and mandatory sale back to the government. keep that in mind. Remember what Obama has told you. He's been up front. He likes what Australia did, and this is what Australia did, and this is how it started, folks. But the voluntary became mandatory. Now it's switching back. Australians are getting rearmed, and they are relaxing those restrictions. Okay, now, finally, we're going to be off all that for our Christmas show. Fa-la-la-la-la. Ah, 'tis the season to be jolly. And we're going to talk about Christmas. We're going to talk about charity and self-charity, reliance and self-reliance, dependence and self-reliance. And I'm going to give you as an example of about any Western society, including, regrettably and sadly, ever more so our own, the country of Spain. Now, I've done many shows on this. You guys can go back in the archives. I've talked about the pigs, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. You know what's been going on in Greece. You've seen smidgens of headlines and stuff, and the Greek economy, and getting thrown out of the European Union, perhaps. And you know what's happened in Crete, and all sorts of things. You know, where they shut down the ATMs. You couldn't get any money out. Look, Spain is another one of those countries that simply doesn't produce what it's worth. Okay? And that's particularly true of the southern European countries, who are supported by the much more industrious northern European countries, just the way it is. The facts and the stats are the facts and the stats. 2 + 2 = 4. Let me tell you about Spain. Because Spain is going to be like the next Greece. You're going to be hearing about this in the next year. Mark my words. And by the way, next week I'm going to have my prognostications for the year 2016. And I'm going to go over my prognostications for the year 2015. Unfortunately, virtually all of them were borne out. So Spain. Decades of socialistic economic policies have left this nation's economy a basket case. And I mean a basket case. It is cradle to grave social programs over there. Exactly what many are calling for here in the United States. And like here, the Europeans use the money from the folks who produce and work to buy the votes with entitlements of the folks that don't. It's just the way it is. Sorry if it's not politically correct. It is the way it is. So, Spain's debt is now 110% of its GDP, or forecast to be that next year. The official, now remember, all governments lie, therefore this number is low. The official unemployment rate is 22%. In 2012, it got so bad the European Union basically had to give them 100 billion euros. A euro, by the way, is, I haven't checked on it lately, it's been sinking because of the plight of Europe. But it was a month or two ago, $1.26, $1.28 U.S., so 100 billion euros, about 130 billion U.S., give or take. I mean, who cares about a few billion one way or the other, right? Well, as part of the 2012 bailout deal, folks, the Spanish government agreed to lower annual deficits, put in an austerity plan. You've heard about that on the news relative to Greece, et cetera, et cetera. That would include tax increases, pay cuts for government workers who are dramatically overpaid and work very few hours, reductions in unemployment benefits, cuts in subsidies to trade unions, etc., etc. Okay, do you know that the Spanish people, when faced with the collapse of their currency, the collapse of their economy, not only said no to the austerity plan that had bailed them out and allowed them the breathing room to get their financial act together. But just a few days ago, in national elections, and you can check this on the Bloomberg reports, the anti-austerity party, Podemos, that's P-O-D-E-M-O-S, won 69 seats in the general election. Now, the two main political parties that have dominated Spanish politics literally since 1982, not that they've done a good job, they've done a terrible job. But they only got about 50% of the vote between them. The people of Spain overwhelmingly voted to go further into debt, to throw out the austerity program, and to increase entitlements. I think we all know how this is going to end, right? And that is the difference between charity and charity to self. And that is the difference between reliance, in the case of the Spanish people, reliance on the government to give them everything, and self-reliance. And that is the difference, ladies and gentlemen, between Spain and, at least as of today, still, the United States of America. Something to think about in the Christmas season. That concept of charity. All right. My last part of this show for Christmas is going to bring you up to date on what's really going on in the Middle East in terms of Jews and Christians and Muslims. And yes, there are some moderate Muslims. There are Muslims who hate ISIS, hate Assad, want a better life for their family who are trying to flee. But there are many who do not fit that category. More importantly, even though our government has only allowed 3% of the refugees in this country as Christians from the Middle East, are the plight of the Christians and Jews over there. And I want you to think about this. Not only is it the right thing to do to support people who are in trauma, to rescue people who truly are the victims of a focused genocide, of a laser-like fixation on persecution and discrimination and terror. Not only is it the right thing to do, I mean, Barry lectures us on American and un-American and American values. Where the hell is he on this? I haven't heard him say one thing about the Christians, the Yazidis, the Jews. Quite the contrary. He says nothing, or in the case of the Jews, is derisive. He cares only about the Muslim refugees, who, by the way, according to the Department of Homeland Security, are not three-year-old orphans and widows, as Barry tried to tell us in yet another lie, but are 80-plus percent single men between the ages of 17 and 24. That's his own Department of Homeland Security. It's kind of like the FBI calling him a liar, which they did a few weeks ago. It's kind of like his new Joint Chiefs of Staff calling him a liar, which he did a few weeks ago. I think people are catching on. How long does it take? Wow. But let me tell you what's really going on over there, and let me tell you why it's in our self-interest. Look, the right and wrong of it is clear to me. The good and evil of it is clear to me. But if you don't believe in the good and evil, and you don't believe in the force, and you don't believe in the yin-yang of things, if you don't believe in karma, you don't believe in right and wrong, then let me appeal to your baser instincts of self-preservation. Because of all the Jews and all the Christians, and the majority of moderate Muslims, however many that may be of the total population, are drummed and thumped from the Middle East, or killed, or tortured, or enslaved. By the way, Barry is always talking about how terrible we are because we had slavery. Slavery did not start in the United States, folks. In fact, the most ancient slavers in the world, I mean, you could probably go back to the cavemen for that matter, are the Arabs. If you want to have some fun, Google up the genealogy of Barack Hussein Obama. And you'll find he has, long ago, Arab blood. And they were the biggest slavers of them all. In fact, the Tripoli pirates took slaves from American ships 200 years ago. The first real battle America had with Islamic extremism 200 years ago under President Jefferson. But let me tell you what's going on today. And let me remind you that if all these moderate Muslims and the Christians and the Jews are thumped out of the Middle East, what's going to be left? Ah, it's those guys that Barry doesn't want to talk about. I think you call them Islamists. Radical Islam. Muslim extremists. Jihadis. Islamic terrorists. I mean, whatever phrase you want to use. That's what's going to be left. And they will feed on themselves. They will think with like mind. They will train generations in the jihad with no outside influence whatsoever. And that is not good for the United States of America. In fact, it's not good for civilization as we know it. One of our representatives, his name is Frank Wolf. He's a Republican from Virginia. Did a report. It's 14 pages. You can read it online. It's called First the Saturday People, Then the Sunday People, The Exodus of Jews and Christians from the Middle East. And for those of you not familiar, the Sabbath for Judaism is Saturday. And of course, the Sabbath for Christianity is Sunday. So, I'm going to read you just a couple paragraphs real quick. Over the span of a few decades, the Middle East, with the exception of Israel, has virtually been emptied of Jews. While it remains to be seen whether the historic exodus of Christians from the region will prove to be as dramatic as what has already happened to the Jewish community, it is without question devastating, as it threatens to erase Christianity from its very roots. Christian leaders in the West must begin to speak out about what is happening not only in Syria, but in the Middle East and other parts of South Central Asia. So, he went over there. He interviewed lots of people, government people, people on both sides, refugees, you name it. And what he got was that the so-called moderates that Barry is supporting or not supporting, I mean, who knows what he's doing from day to day. The so-called moderates have already promised that if they come into power, Jews and Christians beware. In other words, no better than what is there now. In fact, Assad, and I'm not saying he's a nice guy, he's a scumbag, but Assad was rather lenient toward Jews and Christians. He did not allow persecution of those specific minorities. How's that for a rub? So, let me give you some stats here because they are eye-openers. Okay, in Egypt. Okay, Coptic Christians, other similar minorities, they were marginalized by the ascendancy of the Muslim Brotherhood. Remember, the Muslim Brotherhood has been inserted into all sorts of positions by Barry and Valerie and the rest of the Klan at the White House throughout our government, including our security apparatus. The Muslim Brotherhood has a white paper on how to take over Western civilizations. You can read it for yourself. You don't have to believe me. Google it up. This is their words, not mine. So, the Muslim Brotherhood, when it came to power in Egypt, went after the Coptic Christians, and their followers still do. Okay, as you know, remember ISIS beheading the 21 Coptic Christians on the beach? I mean, that's just a small, though absolutely disgusting, representative sample of what's been going on. Okay, there's been mob attacks on churches, church desecrations. There's been no permits to build a new church issued since January 2011. In the aftermath of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, folks, the country's Christian population. By the way, I didn't give you the stats on this. Okay, the new constitution in Egypt that the Muslim Brotherhood rammed through before they got booted out allows for a much stricter interpretation of Islamic law. Okay, Coptic Christians in Egypt numbered 8 to 10 million. They're now leaving in droves. They figure that number is now down to 5 or 6 million. Just in 2 years. That is dramatic. After the U.S. invasion of Iraq, the country's Christian population fell from 1.4 million, plus or minus, in 2003 to 500,000 today and still dropping. Jewish communities. There were 80 to 100,000 Jews expelled from Egypt from 1948 to 1970. It is estimated that there's less than 100 Jews in Egypt today. I want you to think about that. That's a city of 70 million in the Middle East, which is where Judaism and Christianity had its roots. Less than 100, 100. In Iraq, Jews have declined from 150,000 in 1948 to less than a dozen. Let me repeat that. That's the number 12, a dozen Jews today. And you can go right down the list of countries and you can see the same thing happening. I mean, the numbers are fuzzy. Right now in Libya, because of the turmoil, thank you, Hillary, and in Syria, thank you, Hillary and Barack, and that area. But this is what's happening. In fact, right now it's estimated that there's less than 400 Christians of any Christian denomination left in the capital city of Syria, Damascus. And they're only there because they're too old or too sick to move. This is a scary deal. This is a scary deal that we're not doing anything about, that Barack Obama doesn't want to talk about, that Barack Obama refuses to act on via the refugee intake, safe zone, you name it. And this is. This decline, precipitous decline, persecution, and genocide of Christians and Jews in the Middle East could have very serious consequences for us in the very near future. Something to keep in mind on this day after Christmas 2015. The very origins of Christmas, as virtually all of you know, the origins of Christmas were in the Middle East, folks. The beginnings of Christianity, the root of Judaism, are all in the Middle East. Just like progressives here wish to wipe out American history so that they can reshape things as they want to see them in the future. You know, the touchstone of the past is the guidepost to the future. So too do the radicals, the true bigots, the true slavery masters want to do the same in terms of religious history in the Middle East, to reshape things. And that reshaping is at our peril. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. Next week, I'm going to be talking to you about, several things, actually. The omnibus bill that got passed. Wait till you hear what's in it. The $1.1 trillion, which somehow nobody read, 2,274 whatever pages, came out like a day or two before the vote. The usual crap. Wait till you hear what's in that bill. Man, your hair will be on fire. Obamacare, refugees, insurance bailouts, you name it. Wait till you hear about this. Next week, I'm going to go over what I predicted to happen in 2015, where I was right and where I was wrong. I'm going to give you my predictions for 2016 on our New Year's show, which is 1 week from today, the day after New Year's, the first day of 2016. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about immigration, where we have more hanky-panky going on, as if there wasn't enough. In any event, I hope you folks had the absolute greatest Christmas you've ever had. I hope you had good times, warm times, cozy times with your family and friends. I hope you had a terrific Hanukkah, my Jewish friends out there, and that holiday was celebrated all 8 of its days with candles and presents and all sorts of family gatherings. And to all of us, I wish the very best, happiest, healthiest of New Year's. And when I say all of us, I mean not just all of us, but I'm talking about the country we live in, the United States of America. Merry Christmas. Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I will talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.